Well, first of all, I'd like to thank Angela for her rendering of chapter 25 of 1 Samuel. It's not an easy read, and it's a little bit long. But to get an idea of the story of Abigail, it's absolutely necessary to read the whole chapter. Indeed, probably necessary to read the whole book of 1 Samuel. But we can't do that in the time that we have available to us. And in any case, 1 Samuel, as I'm sure you're aware, tells the story of the lives of Samuel in the first place, and moves on to how Israel asked to have a king, and how Samuel anointed King Saul, how Saul was a disappointment, how he let God down, how he let his nation down, and so Samuel was called upon again to anoint David as king. And just before chapter 24 begins, we have a situation where David has just spared Saul's life. And David has spared Saul's life because Saul is still God's anointed, despite all the wrong things that he has done. So chapter 24 is a little bit strange because it's a story within a story, but it's still a story that has to do with power struggles, and it's also a story that has to do with types. Because, as we all know, David is a type of Christ. And David's enemy is Saul. And in this story, Nabal is also a type of Saul. And so the conflict between David and Nabal is inevitable. The main characters in this story are Nabal, who, according to the text, is surly and mean in his dealings with people, so he's not a nice man. And we don't know why he's married to Abigail, who is beautiful and intelligent. Strange match, but that was the situation. Now, the story, we can't go through all the details in the story, and I'd like to get to the point where we talk about David's meeting with Abigail and the conversation that they had together. But the story did tell us that David had been looking after Nabal's flocks, and came around to the time of shearing the sheep, which was a kind of celebration when Nabal threw a huge party. And so David sent some men in order to ask Nabal simply for some food, because David was trying to feed 600 people, 600 soldiers in the middle of a desert. And in the text also we saw Nabal's reaction. According to Nabal's servants, Nabal hurled insults at David's men. The text just says that Nabal said, "Who is this David? Who is this son of Jesse?" And in 1 Samuel, Saul does exactly the same thing. When he wants to insult David, he says, "Who is this son of Jesse?" or "this son of Jesse." So it's not a nice thing to say that, apparently, in the text. So Nabal really was insulting David, refusing to recognize that he was God's anointed, because if Abigail had complete knowledge of David's situation, of how David, there's a hint in the text that Abigail knew exactly that David had slain Goliath, because she talks about a sling. She also knew about all of David's exploits, how earlier in Samuel we read that if Saul had slain his thousands, David has slain his tens of thousands. And so she recognized and knew that he was king. She was siding with David because she knew the Lord's will for David's life. And she was a person with deep spiritual depth. Deep spiritual depth is a bit of a saying, but she has this. Whereas Nabal, the text shows us very clearly, just lived for himself. He was a wealthy man, and he spent his wealth on himself. And he wasn't willing to provide any kind of hospitality. We were talking about hospitality and generosity this morning to David's men, despite the protection that David and his men had offered them in the desert. So, a wise servant goes to Abigail, because the servant says in the text, "Nabal is such a wicked man that no one can talk to him." And she goes and explains the situation to Abigail. And of course, Abigail's reaction is completely different. The text tells us that Abigail was both beautiful and intelligent. And I suppose if the text tells that, there is a significance, there's a reason for saying that. So obviously part of Abigail's beauty was her spiritual aspect. She was a beautiful person inside. She was a beautiful person because she had faith in God and was obedient to his word. And she was also very intelligent, as the text shows us later on. And you may be thinking, well, I'm not very beautiful. Speaking about yourselves, but I'm not very beautiful either. And perhaps not very intelligent. So does that mean I'm in with Nabal's camp, the surly and the mean and the nasty? Not at all. I think when the Lord has transformed us, when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, he transforms us inside, perhaps outside as well. And the Word of God, I think, makes us intelligent also. Martin Lloyd-Jones was adamant that all Christians should study hard to explain their faith, study the Scriptures, because the Word of God is what makes us who we are. It transforms our lives. It educates us. It shows us the way, and it also helps us to explain the gospel to other people. And like in Abigail's case, it helps us to react in adverse situations in the right way. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, this is the solution to your problem if you don't think you're that intelligent. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. And I find that amazing. And I'm sure also that in your Christian experience, as you walk with God and you walk closer and closely with him, you see how he directs your steps and your paths and helps you towards making the right decisions in difficult moments. But anyway, Abigail reacts very quickly to the servant's tale. So not only is she beautiful and intelligent, but she acts wisely and quickly and prepares a feast for a king. And I'll not go through the list of all the ingredients. Well, I will. 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 dressed sheep, 5 seahs of roasted corn, 100 cakes of raisins, and 200 cakes of pressed figs, and loaded them on donkeys. So there was a lot of it. And then told her servants, go on ahead, I'll follow you. You can see the urgency. She knows that she has to react quickly, or everyone in Nabal's farm is going to be killed. That's also something that God helps us to do. I think he helps us to react quickly when that is necessary. And he also helps us to think about things and react when it's more important to take our time and do things properly. I think many things are urgent in our Christian experience, and things have to be done urgently. We live in a world where people need the message of Christ urgently. Our outreach, there should be an urgency to our outreach, an urgency to our preaching, an urgency to our desire to preach the Word of God to the people around us. So this group of people is moving towards David, and David is moving towards them with his sword at the ready to slay everyone in Nabal's farm. And he's just uttering a terrible threat. He says in verse 22, may God deal with David, be it ever so severely, if by morning I leave alive one male of all who belong to him. That's Nabal. And at that moment, the two parties meet each other. And the text also tells us that Abigail jumps off her donkey and throws herself at David's feet in a sign of respect, because she knows who David is. It becomes apparent in the speech that she offers later on. She also throws herself at David's feet because she wants, she desires his mercy. Not because she personally has done anything wrong, but she knows that a wrong has been done and that perhaps all her servants will be slain. She begins in verse 26 by explaining what went wrong. First of all, by describing her husband, saying that her name means fool, and that is the way he acted in this situation. And she points out that nothing has happened so far. David hasn't killed anyone yet, so there's time to solve the problem. There's time to get things fixed. She says in verse 26, "Now since the Lord has kept you, my master, from bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hands, as surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, may your enemies and all who intend to harm my master be like Nabal." Abigail also offers her thoughts on David's future. In verse 28, she says, "Please forgive your servant's offense." In the latest version of the NIV, it doesn't say offense. It says, "Please forgive your servant's presumption." Because as Abigail argues the point, she is actually saying to David, if you avenge yourself, if you cause needless bloodshed, then in one sense you're acting like Saul, and you're even acting like Nabal, because this is just personal vengeance. But since I'm here to remedy the situation with the food that you needed, and also explaining the situation with great respect, treating David, who he is, as the future king of Israel. On the one hand, there's a lot of respect and a lot, and very careful dealing with the subject. But on the other hand, there is the suggestion, well, if you do this, then you're behaving like Saul. So the word presumption, I think, explains the situation a little bit better, because Abigail here is putting her life on the line. She is risking her life for her servants. She repeats in verse 31 the needlessness and the wrongness of vengeance in this situation. And in verse 31, she ends with a lovely thought by saying, "Remember your servant." She says, "Master, my master will." When she says "my master" and "my lord," she's referring to David. She's obviously not referring to her own husband, Nabal. "My master will not have on his conscience the staggering burden of needless bloodshed, of having avenged himself, and when the Lord has brought my master success, remember your servant." That reminds me of another situation in the Bible, in the New Testament, when the thief is dying at Jesus' side and he says, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Abigail is asking David to remember her. And so for me, it's a perfect simile of that situation of the thief on the cross. Also, remember me, save my house, don't cause destruction. And the thief believes in the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior on the cross. And the Lord says to him, "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." And then we have the wonderful reaction of David to Abigail's speech. As John was saying before, David was a man of many faults, many, many faults, although he's the only person in the Bible who had a heart, I can't remember the expression, he was a man after God's own heart. The Bible doesn't mention that or say that of anyone else. It's a wonderful thing. And the wonderful thing about David, when he sinned with Bathsheba, in this situation, when Abigail says the things the way she does, David said to Abigail, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, who has sent you today to meet me. May you be blessed for your good judgment and for keeping me from bloodshed this day and from avenging myself with my own hands." David reacts positively. He could have said, "Well, thank you very much for the food. I'm going to kill Nabal anyway. He's a bad man. He deserves it. And those who hang about with him," with the same thing goes. But David always listened to the word of God. And he recognized in what Abigail said in her message, he recognized that God was in the center of it all. Her message has come straight from God, and David knows it. So he accepts her gift and grants her request. He says, "Go home in peace." Peace, that made me think of another text in the New Testament. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God." And I think that in essence is what Abigail is. She's a peacemaker. She knows there's a problem. She knows what caused it. And very quickly she goes and does everything that she can to remedy it in a very special way, because I think while she was progressing on the donkey, she was getting the message ready for David. It wasn't something that just came out when she got there. It was something that she had thought about seriously. And there's a wonderful expression in what she says. "Let no wrongdoing be found in you as long as you live. Even though someone is pursuing you to take your life, the life of my master will be bound securely in the bundle of the living by the Lord your God." She's been observing David's life, and she knows what way things are going. She knows that David's life is also bound up with the Lord, and the Lord is going to be with him and protect him and use him all through his life. And she wants to be part of that. That's why she says, "Could you please remember me?" And the story continues. Abigail continues to act intelligently afterwards when she gets back home and says nothing to Nabal, who's pretending to be a king, having a feast for a king. He's totally drunk. And he reminds me also of the man in the New Testament who built bigger barns because he didn't want to share his treasure or his money or his goods with anyone else, and threw a big party as well, and then his soul was demanded of him the very next day. Abigail is brave because the next day she tells Nabal everything. She will not tell him while he's drunk. I don't know how he's going to react. I don't know if he'll remember. So the next day when he's sober, she tells him, and Nabal is struck down like a stone, it says in the text. 10 days later, he dies. David sees this as the Lord's retribution. I think for us in our century, that's very hard. But it is. And I think in life, we've all got choices to make. You can tie up your bundle with one way of thinking or with another. Abigail has chosen David, has chosen the Lord God Almighty, has chosen the right way. And Nabal, who just wants to live for himself, has chosen the wrong way. He doesn't recognize the qualities of his own wife. He doesn't recognize who David is and refuses to help. And I think we all have choices to make in our lives, and the most important choice of all is to accept the Lord as our own personal Savior. And the story has a happy ending as well. David keeps his promise. When he finds out that Nabal has died and that the Lord's hand is in it, he asks Abigail to marry him. Partly, perhaps, just to protect her from Nabal's family who would be seeking revenge. And also because he admired the great advice that she had given him. He wanted to continue listening to her good sense and her good advice. And he decided that she was a very wise woman and that the things she said came from God. And so he sends for her, asks to marry her, and she agrees. Abigail agrees to marry David, knowing that she wouldn't be David's only wife, because David already had two at that point and had a few more afterwards. But all the same, see, I'm going to throw my lot in with David because David is God's man. Well, 21 minutes, Roger, is that okay? Thank you very much. I hope and pray that this has been a blessing to you. I personally didn't know exactly who Abigail was before I was asked to preach on her and had to ask someone which book of the Bible her story was in. But it's been a great blessing to me to study to work through to see how God uses people in every situation, and there are sort of applications for our lives through her story nowadays. Amen.